big enough to serve God. But what we need to remember tonight is that God has always promised, even the very name Jehovah, I Am, declares that God is everything you need.
Amen.
You don't need giants. You don't need wealth. You don't need numbers. You have all you need if you have Jesus Christ.
Amen,
He's everything you need to serve God properly and faithfully. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, beginning in verse 1, "Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Shochel, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shochel and Azekah in Ephes-Damim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and pitched by the valley of Elah, and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them." Now, I like to get a mental picture of this when I read about it and think about it. That on one side of the mountain, there were the Philistines and their armies, all geared up, all prepared, well trained, well suited out to do battle with the Israelites. On the other side were the Israeli soldiers, all suited up, all geared up, all trained, and ready and prepared to do battle. And between them there was the valley. Well, they're all ready for the battle. Now notice what happens in verse 4. "And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam." They say his spear was about 26 feet long. About twice, a little over twice as big as he was at all. "His spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels a pound of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. His spear weighed about 37 pounds, or the spear head rather. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, Why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and you servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall you be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said..." Now notice this. I'm sure he was looking them all right in the eye, and they had their eyes upon him. "And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, and he had 8 sons. And the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul." Now look at verse 16. "And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. Now begin in verse 20. "And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight, and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage, and ran into the army, and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard. With these words in mind, I'd like for us to think about that subject of serving the Lord with what you have. Not with what you don't have, not with what you might expect to get later on, but serving God now with what you have. We find that the Lord has declared and claimed to be everything His people will ever need, even in service to Him. But you know, the first thing we notice about this thing is the problem. You see, Israel had a problem. Notice with me, if you will, in verse 10 and 11. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we might fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. You see, they became afraid because they had a problem. You know what they thought their problem was? They thought their problem was that giant by the name of Goliath. And I imagine that was a sight to see. Because they say that that man's helmet that was put up on his head perhaps covered his forehead back down over his ears and on down the back of his neck. That very helmet probably weighed about 15 pounds. And he was a giant of a man that stood between 11 and 12 feet tall. Here he is all decked out from head to toe in his very armor of brass, had his helmet on, had his coat of armor. They say that very coat of armor, according to the weight of that day, probably weighed 150 pounds of brass. The very armor upon his legs, the very armor around his neck to protect his neck and perhaps his chin, and it weighed about 30 pounds. His spear was about 26 feet tall. And the very spearhead was of a weight of 37 pounds. And I can just about see that old boy as he begins to climb down that mountain out of those armies. And here he comes all dressed up in his armor of brass. And he looks like a human armored tank. Clump, clump. Club, and I imagine he rattled a little bit. All you could see was that peephole for his eyes where he could look out and see everybody. Everything else was well covered and protected. And here he comes out every morning and every evening looking the Israeli army in the eyes and says, I defy the armies of Israel. I dare any one of you to come out and fight against me. And if one of you dare to come, and if he fight me and kill me, then we'll be your servants. But if he fight me and I kill him, you'll be my servants or our servants. You know, I don't imagine that was the first time that old Goliath had ever made a challenge like that. I'm sure that he had done the same thing before, that he was well trained in slaughtering the champions of other armies, that he was a well-trained, well-protected, well-armored man. And I can see that fellow as he steps out there, that great big hunk of brass and humanity, that he looked like a human armored tank. The Bible says they were afraid. You know what they were afraid of? They were being intimidated by the way he appeared unto them and the very words that were said. Because of what he appeared to be, and because of what was said, they were afraid. That was their problem, they thought. They said, we've got a problem. But you know what their real problem was? The same kind of problem that we have so many times. We look out there when we begin to attempt to serve God and we say, we can't handle that. It's too big for us, or we'll not attempt it. Why, we can't do anything like that. It's too much for a handful of people to do. And so we are intimidated by the size of the thing that appears to be. And by what's being said. But the real problem with Israel was the same problem with us. They forgot the Lord. They forgot the Lord and God's promise. God said, I am. I am everything you need. I'm the very self-existent, self-sufficient, eternal, almighty, never-changing, eternal God that keeps every promise that He ever made to any of His elect. They forgot Him. You never hear Him mentioned until David comes along. That was their problem. They had forgotten the Lord, you see. You see, most of the time, we always size up things by the way they appear and by what's being said about them. And then it becomes a problem when you forget that the Lord can handle that situation.
Amen.
You don't have a problem until you forget the Lord. I don't care what missionary, I don't care what mission work, I don't care what church, I don't care what preacher or whatever it is, beloved. It's not how things appear, and it's not just what things are being said about it. It's whether God is with you or not that makes the difference. You can serve the Lord with what you have. It's not what you wish you had, but what you have that God will use. So they had a problem. They were being intimidated. They didn't think they were big enough or capable. And that's what most Baptist churches think. They never think they're big enough nor capable to do very much in the work of God. You see, that was the problem. But now notice the person that comes along to deliver, to teach them how to serve God. Look in verse 12 through 14. Now David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, and he had 8 sons, and the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. The 3 eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle, and the names of these 3 sons that went into the battle were Eliab the firstborn, and next unto him Abinadab, and the 3rd Shammah. And David was the youngest. Who was it that God chose to teach His people how to serve Him with what they have? It weren't these 3 eldest sons of Jesse. It weren't these 3 sons that had been well trained and suited out and had the courage to go into battle with Saul. It was the youngest son who had been out taking care of his father's sheep.
Amen.
A young man of perhaps about 20 years of age hadn't even really grown up as far as most folks were concerned. Didn't know what it was all about yet as far as his brothers were concerned. They thought he was a little smart aleck, you know, acting tough like some folks do today, you know, and bragging about what he'd do if they'd let him. He was tender-skinned and soft-looking. In fact, he probably looked a whole lot like a sissy, according to the Word of God. Inexperienced in battle, never fought in a war as far as a real war with the soldiers, but he was willing to serve God with what he had. Look with me, if you will, beginning in verse 31. In verse 31, notice this person that's going to serve God with what he had. In 1 Samuel 17, verse 31, and when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. Now Saul sends for David now. Listen. And David said to Saul, I like this. David said to Saul, he said, let no man's heart fail because of him. Why, King, don't let anybody suffer heart failure over this fellow. thy servant, and we'll go out and fight with this Philistine. Do you notice the contrast? Do you notice the difference? That Saul and his entire army were dismayed and afraid. They had a problem. But David had no problem. He seen the same giant. He heard the same words. But they meant nothing to him because he remembered the Lord.
Amen.
Thy servant will go out and fight this man. David didn't have a problem. You never have a problem until you let it become a problem. You make it a problem when you forget God is able to handle every situation. Our problem, there's trials, certainly. Problems, not if you remember the Lord. So David said, I'll take care of this man. All right, now listen to Saul in verse 33. Saul said to David, now here's some more of these words, see, could be a problem if you forgot the Lord. Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth. First of all, son, you're too young. You're not old enough. You're just too young and inexperienced because this man is a man of war from his youth. You see, David, there's a difference between you and Goliath. He's a giant of a man. He has years of experience, and he's well trained, and he's done this thing before, but you're a young man, a young lad, and you never handled anything like this. Never had to face anything like this. Now listen to David, verse 34. Still no problem with David. David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them. Why? Seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. You see, Goliath had made a mistake. He wasn't defying the host of the armies of Israel. He was defying the armies of the living God.
Amen,
and David hadn't forgotten that either.
Amen.
Still no problem with David. David said, I can handle it. I can take care of it. Why, when I was out there taking care of my father's sheep, there came a lion, and he snatched up one of those little lambs and took off with it. And David said, I ran after him. I smacked him down. I reached in his mouth, took that little lamb out, and turned around and said, that's my daddy's lamb, and you can't have it. He said that old lion rose up and came. He said, I grabbed him by the beard and killed him. He said, I killed the bear too. No problem with David, was there? David didn't have any problem. The Lord, he said, and the same Lord that delivered me out of the hand of the lion, out of the mouth of the lion and the bear, is the same God that will deliver me out of the hands of this giant, of this man. Willing. I heard a fellow not too long ago who was on the board of directors of a missionary board, and he made this statement. He said, if you folks ever want to send out a missionary to a foreign land, you better not send that man out until he has a college education. Got to have that experience, see? Got to have that education to do the job. David said, I know. I've never been trained as a soldier.
Never had to do what I'm going to have to do. But he said, I can do it. And I'll do it with what I have, not with what I don't have. You don't ever hear David saying, boy, if I just had that, if I just had this, I'd show that fellow a thing or three. David said, I'll do it. Then what are you going to do it with, David? Well, let's see what David's going to do it with now. Look at the preparation made for the battle. Look at the preparation now. Beginning in verse 37. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. Now Saul wants to help him out, see. Just like that fellow said, now if you're going to go, you've got to be well prepared. He said, Saul armed David with his armor. He put a helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor. And he attempted to go, for he had not proved it. David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them, and David put them off him. Here's old Goliath out there all decked out in all of his mighty armor and all the strength that man could muster together as a giant. Great big human giant armored tank. By the time Saul got through with David, he was a little bitty armored tank. He put that helmet of armor upon him, and old David's head shrunk down between his shoulders. He put that armor around his body, and he began to sink because of the weight. Gave him a sword, he put it on him, and David said, well, let's see what will happen. He said, I can't use this. He began to pull it all off, throw it off the side. He said, I can't use this. I've never proved them. I don't need these things. I don't have to have those things that so many folks have to have in order to serve God. Somebody said, Brother Hall, you can't buy a building without any money. I can't, but God did.
Amen,
brother. Found out that building in Cairo was empty and for sale. They said, how much you give us? I said, I'll give you $7,500 for the whole thing. You think I was offering them a million the way I was talking. She called me on a Monday morning and she said, preacher, said, if you want that building, she said, I'll be back in town on Friday morning at the lawyer's office that I've already made an appointment. Said, will you have the money then? Said, if you don't, you can't get it. I said, I'll be there with the money. I didn't have it then. I didn't even have $75, let alone $7,500. But by the time Friday morning got there, the money was in the bank account where someone had put it there so we could buy the building. Several churches made offerings and we paid $4,000 of it and God canceled the rest of it out.
Amen.
Driving a 79 Chevette out there that's got 179,000 miles on it. Thursday when I went to Murray to look for the building there, to look at it and to deal with them, I had to push it down the street by myself. Nobody was there to help me. Saturday when we were in Paducah, a couple of church members were Brother Clark pastors came by and pushed me halfway across Paducah. When it came time for Sandra and I to leave yesterday to come up here, we jumped up in that, got in that same 79 Chevette going out by faith, and that thing never stopped. It never coughed. It didn't even have a hiccup. Somebody asked her before we left, they said, Sandra, how are y'all going up there? Her daddy said, take my big Buick. I did one time that cost me over $100 and some odd. She said, we'll go by faith. We'll take the red car like we've done so many other times. And it just kept going and kept going. kept starting and kept running. You see, it wouldn't work for David what Saul had prepared for him. But he was willing to serve God with what he had. You know what David did? Let's go on and read. Look in verse 40. Here's how he prepared to serve God in this account. He took his staff. I believe that was a shepherd's rod. Took his staff in his hand. Had one hand full, didn't he? Just an old stick. But he took it in his hand. And then he chose him out 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip. And a sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Had his shepherd's staff in one hand, the sling in the other. He had bent down, chose out 5 smooth stones out of that water. And I imagine old David looked at those 5 smooth stones and he picked one out and he said, "This is Goliath right here." He looked at those other 4 and he said, "And this is for anybody else that wants to take it up when Goliath's gone." He put them in his scrip, in his bag. And he started toward the Philistine, the giant. He's going to tackle what was everybody else's problem. No problem for him yet, is there? He's trusting the Lord. Notice in verse 41 now. The Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. When the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy and of a fair countenance. He looked on him and he said, "Why, that's nothing but a boy." That young fellow probably hadn't even started shaving yet. And here he is, a little sissy, coming out here to meet me. He was insulted. Listen to what he says in verse 43. The Philistine said unto David, "Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air, to the beasts of the field." Man, here come that old giant out there to see who was going to meet his challenge. Come out there rattling all of that great armor that he had on, looking through that armored peephole, sees that little fella down there, and he says, "Hey, do I look like a dog? Do you think you're going to run me off with a stick in your hand?" And he began to curse David by all of his gods. Now you listen to old David. In verse 45, then said David to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with the shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord."
Amen.
Not just in the name of God the Creator, but in the name of Jehovah, who's everything we need. He said, "I come to thee by the authority in the very name of the very true and living God, who's everything I need. You come to me with a shield. You come to me with a spear. You come to me with a sword. But I come to you in the name of the Lord." The God of the armies of Israel whom thou hast defied. That giant says, "Well, you just come on, little fella. I'll pick you up and tear you into pieces. I'll throw part of you up into the air to the birds of the air, and I'll throw the rest of you to the beast of the field. I'll tear you into little pieces and scatter you everywhere. Man, you're talking about a great challenge. You're talking about anger and fury all built up. But now notice the prevailing power of God. Serving the Lord with what you have. In verse 46, David said, "This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee." No problem with David. He says, "I will. And take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth." Notice this. Here's why he's going to do it. In order that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. You see, there were two purposes in this thing. One of them was David knew he had the victory because God was going to prove himself to be the sovereign over all the earth. They were going to recognize that Israel had a true and living God. They weren't going to see him as Jehovah, but they were going to see him as God, the one in full control, even the enemy. Now in verse 47, here's the second purpose of this thing. "And in order that all this assembly," the Israelites, "in order that the nation of Israel," God's children, "shall know that," it's not the word God here, but the name Lord, "that the Lord, who is everything we need, saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." Makes a difference.
Amen, brother.
You may know him as the God who creates tonight and not recognize him or know him as the one who is everything you need. Jesus Christ is everything we need tonight. He is our all in all tonight. Well, that gets old Goliath all stirred up. Now notice, as we bring it to a close in verse 48, "It came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David." Here comes the old giant now. All decked down in his armor, he'd done this before. He had fought better men than David and slew every one of them. Here he gets up to meet this one. But I want you to notice old David now. No armor of man upon him. Staff in one hand, sling in the other. And the Bible says that when he came down to and drew nigh to meet David, that David hastened and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. He didn't walk. He didn't crawl. He ran. He was in a hurry. He was going to get this thing over with so they would know that there is a God.
Amen. Amen.
And one who is everything his people will ever need. I mean, he ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slang it. Smote the Philistine in his forehead that the stone sunk into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. That old Philistine rose up. He began to march out with that mighty spear and all of that army. And here he comes to meet the challenge. Old David raises up, begins to run, that stab in one hand, that sling in the other. Man, he's got his eye on the enemy and on the target. All the time he's running to meet old Goliath, all of a sudden he lets her go and whack! The only place that it could have hurt him, the only place that was vulnerable, he hit that man right between the eyes. That 150 pounds of brass upon that body, that 15-pound helmet, that 37-pound or whatever it was, neck brace that he had, neck guard, and all that garb he had on his legs, it all fell over and it fell on his face. Man, I can imagine that dust rose for about 20 or 30 feet. They probably thought somebody invented the atom bomb just about that time. All that noise, the rattling of the brass as he goes down and falls on his face. But it's over. God had prevailed, and David had served God with what he had.
Amen. Amen.
He had a staff in one hand and a sling in the other. Verse 50 says, so David prevailed over the Philistine and with the sling and with the stone. Smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran, stood upon the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him, cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. It was all over. What was the problem to a host of army, to a host of soldiers, became no problem at all. With one servant of God who was willing to serve God by faith with what he had. I told the folks at Caro the other night, I said, the more I preach this, the more it makes me want to go out and grab a tiger by the tail. I believe it. It's given me boldness. It's caused me to be secure in the knowledge of knowing that God, my Savior, Jesus Christ, is all that I'll ever need to do the work he's called me to do. There's not a one of us here that's saved tonight that cannot serve God if you're willing to serve him with what you have. God is able. You're not. And you'll never have a problem unless you forget God. And that's the real problem, isn't it? There's been times when I've listened to what people said, what I thought they were thinking, and by the size of what it appeared to be, and I've backed off until I remember Jesus said, I am. I am. I am everything you need. He is. He has been. And he always will be.
Amen.
We look around us and we see all the great works that appear to be going on tonight. And we listen to their boasts and their braggings of how much they've done and what they've acquired and all their great things. And if we're not careful, we'll run over in a corner somewhere and hide our faces in shame and says, I wish we could do something like that. It's not what it appears to be, nor is it what's said. It's whether you're willing to believe the Lord is everything you need.
Amen.
May God help us to remember that
Amen.
As we serve Him.
Amen.